Good morning, Fairlawn. See, somebody's left me a note up here. Sorry. Good morning and happy Mother's Day to all of you moms. As was already mentioned earlier, you do not have to be a biological mother to be a mother figure in someone else's life. And that'll be one of my key points throughout this message, this sermon today. Today I want to address that sincere Christian faith leaves a lasting legacy. So if you have got your copy of God's Word, go ahead and open it or turn it on. If you want to use a Bible app, that's fine too. The book of 2 Timothy chapter 1. Here's where I'm at in my Bible. So you'll find that 2 Timothy is most of the way back through the Bible. It's towards the very end. 2 Timothy is after 1 Timothy. But did I get an amen on that? Wow. Okay, if you guys will amen that, I hope you amen more than that later in the message, okay? As you are making your way to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. God, we confess that many of us are walking in here without a quiet heart. So we ask now that you would calm our anxious heart, that even for 30 minutes, God, we can put away fear, stress, worry, and anxiety, and let your word reign supreme in our life. God, I pray that the word of the Bible will come alive to us personally, though as the book of Hebrews says, it is already living and active. So Lord, would you, by your word and through your Holy Spirit, illuminate it, make it ever known to us how we are to respond to this preached word, and make it known how we are to apply the written word in our lives so that we may give you glory, so that we can become more Christ-like. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let us just jump right into this text of 2 Timothy chapter 1. Beginning in verse 1, let us read through verses 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will, for the sake of the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly loved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day. Remembering your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I recall your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I am convinced is in you also. While in prison, Paul wrote to his young spiritual child Timothy, who he referred to as his dearly loved son, offering him grace, mercy, and peace. And there was no expectation that Paul would be released from prison, so he did what he normally does from prison. He wrote a letter. And as Timothy is his dearly loved son, they shared an intimate and emotional bond. Their love for one another increased over time as they stood together through difficulties in ministry. And here particularly, Paul communicated with the affection of a father toward a son, thinking about this young man as they're now separated from one another. And with these emotions in mind, with this weighing heavy on his heart and mind, he prays for grace, mercy, and peace to be with him. Verse 3 indicates that Paul remembered Timothy day and night in his prayers. There's a lot to be said about the special bond that parents have with their kids. I mean, they do a lot of unnoticed things. They do a lot of thankless things for their children. They think about them a lot. They're always in the back of their mind. They pray for them, not wanting them to drift away from the Word of God and what they have been taught. Parents want to protect their children at all costs, and rightfully so. Some parents even track their kids with something called Find My iPhone. Some of you helicopter parents even track your kids using something called Life 360, to where you know where your kids are at all times of day. I'm not there yet, but I'm sure one day I'll get there. That's an oft-repeated phrase to me. You don't know what it's like yet, but one day you just wait. I'll get there. From the text, it's obvious that Paul and Timothy were close companions. They weren't afraid to talk about their love and affection for one another or to express the heavy emotions of their friendship, and it wasn't odd for them to do so. You know, though, in today's day and age, to express such warmth and affection from one man to another is seen as weird, odd, awkward. But may it not be so? I believe that the world needs to see more Christian men loving one another and telling each other how much we genuinely love and care for and appreciate them from one man to another. Now, guys, I'm not saying you need to be overboard in your affection towards one another. I mean, you don't need for it to get sloppy and real ugly. You don't need to ugly cry on each other unless you really just need to let one out. I'm here for you. I'll see you after service, Chris. If there's anybody in the room who would have amen that, it's Chris Weekly. But really, guys, we need to come alongside each other and just give each other a genuine, hey, man, I love you. Man, I just really appreciate you. Man, I'm just so thankful that you are in my life. How can I pray for you? What's something that you're struggling with so that I can best pray for you? We need more men to do that in our relationships with one another. Yes, I know it's Mother's Day. Women, I'll get to you soon, okay? But here, I can't navigate from the fact that Paul and Timothy had such a close, tight bond. And in a greater sense of this relationship between Paul and Timothy from verse 4, Paul said about his younger spiritual son that he longed to see him so that he would be filled with joy. Now, you parents know, after you've been away from your kids for quite a while and then you reconnect, that there is a special joy that you feel when you see them again. You're glad that they are safe. You run up to them. You hug them. You kiss them. You tell them again and again, I'm so glad you're here. Those things bring us joy. Now, spiritually speaking, you don't have to be a biological parent to be a spiritual parent. That's not something I'm just going to say on Mother's Day or Father's Day. That will be something that I say from this pulpit often. I'll not only say it, but I'll mean it, okay? My kids, though we've been here not even a month, have already gravitated to some of you special people. They grab you, they hug you, they won't let go. They're already looking to you like their own adopted aunts and uncles and grandmas and grandpas, and I'm very thankful. It's not a surprise to say that I have more spiritual fathers and more spiritual mothers than I do biological parents, and that's a very good thing. I can say that you don't have to be a parent to be a spiritual parent, not just from personal experience, but because of the testimony of the Word of God, and particularly what the Apostle John wrote in 3 John. He began that very short letter in 3 John, verses 1 through 4, when he wrote this: "The elder to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you are prospering in every way and are in good health, just as your whole life is going well. For I was very glad when fellow believers came and testified to your fidelity to the truth, how you are walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear that my children are walking in truth." We have that verse as Hobby Lobby wall art hanging in our kids' bedroom. We have 3 John 4 hanging in our kids' bedroom: that I have no greater joy than this, to know that my children are walking in truth. We want that to be a visual reminder for them, and we want that to be a visual reminder for us. May this be a visual reminder for you too, church. When John wrote to his dear friend, he not so ironically referred to him as one of his own children. Church, you do not have to be a biological parent to be a spiritual parent. The great testimony of Christian parents and spiritual parents is to say, I have no greater joy than to know my children are walking in truth. Parents, listen well. Our greatest joy must not be that your kid ends up with a sweet girlfriend or a handsome boyfriend. Though those are good things, and hopefully that comes to fruition. Our greatest joy must not be bound up in the holy accomplishment trinity of athletics, academics, and the arts. Our greatest joy must be bound up in our confession and heart belief that our greatest joy is to know that our kids are walking in biblical truth. Awards, accomplishments, scholarships, those are all good things. Please don't hear me wrong. So long as they do not champion whether or not our kids are in Christ. You don't have to be a father or mother to be a spiritual mother or father. I've had several spiritual father figures over the years, from my youth pastor who discipled me to the man who led me to Christ at the age of 14, who was old enough to be my grandpa at the time, to one of our deacons back home who just genuinely loved for me and cared for me as if I was one of his kids, his self. But more than any other spiritual father figure I've had, my pastor, Dan Jividen, was my number one spiritual father figure over the years. Here's a guy who is just the picture of humility and simplicity, a guy who lives a humble, quiet life. He cares for people well as an under-shepherd. He has the heart of a chaplain, and he taught me to preach. When we left Emmanuel, and there's a basket taking cards of well wishes and personal notes of encouragement the week before we would leave on April 10th, Pastor Dan didn't write me a card. Instead, he wrote me a letter, almost the size of 3 John, ironically. I'm not going to read you the whole thing, but I do want to share some of what he wrote. Now, some of this gets a bit personal, so I'll leave that out. But the letter that Pastor Dan wrote me begins this way. Kyle, I feel for you as Paul did for Timothy in 2 Timothy 1. I could not be more proud of you. You have taken advice, considered it well, acted in accordance when needed, and spat out the bones of what wasn't. You have an education that goes well beyond books and exams. You have learned to deal with people. You know what it means to shepherd a flock and do it with love for the brethren, compassion for the sick and hurting, and ruthless determination to protect against predators. Get you a guy like that. Get you a mom like that. Get you a Paul figure in your life. If you don't have one, go get one. If you don't have one, I'm going to tell you soon how to go get one. Like my pastor, I have also regarded as my spiritual mother, my pastor's wife. She was, spiritually speaking, my Eunice, though her name was Sharon. This woman, for the past dozen years, showed me what it was really like to treasure God's word for the purpose of holiness. She showed me what it's like to value prayer. She showed me, by her same Bible that she's been carrying around since her college years, what it's like to really dig into the word and to mark up a Bible and highlight it and keep going back to those same verses again and again and again. I have regarded them as my number one spiritual father and mother figures. Go get you a Paul. Go get you a Eunice. You need them both. You need a spiritual father figure and you need a spiritual mother figure. Whether they be that formally or informally, you need godly men and you need godly women that you can model your Christian life after. If you don't have both of those, go seek them out. What you do is you go find that godly man or that godly woman that can disciple you or mentor you. Now, this can be in a sit-down setting like a life group class or over coffee, or if anybody wants to meet me at JR's Donut Castle at 8:30 tomorrow morning. But a lot of times, our discipleship comes in informal ways. It's sitting in the Sunday school life group Bible study class and just watching someone. It's watching how someone responds to conflicts or disagreements. It's hearing how someone else prays and modeling your prayer after them. It's watching how a godly mother or godly father raises their kids, that they not only raise their kids in church, but they raise their kids in Christ. Get you a Paul, get you a Eunice, you will be glad you did. And if you're already an older leader, invest in a Timothy. Help them fan the flame of their faith and their calling, and help them develop Christ-like character and grow in their competencies. For Timothy, he was already blessed with spiritual parental figures like Paul, but also a good and godly mother and grandmother. Paul realized that genuine faith had been modeled for Timothy through his family. He said that it was evident in his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. Now, true Christian faith cannot be inherited, but it can be demonstrated in convincing ways within the family unit itself. Even so, each individual person must personally decide whether they trust Jesus Christ for salvation and follow Him. Now, that's a very personal, individual decision. No one else can make that for you. You are not born into the church. You're certainly not baptized into the church. You personally have to make that commitment whether you want to follow the Lord Jesus or not. You cannot claim that just because your mom or dad or grandma or grandpa, or that your uncle or grandpa was a preacher, that you too can claim Christ. It don't work like that. It does not. Now, yes, Timothy had the blessing of having a Christian mother and grandmother, but he still had to believe for himself. And in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 16, that gives us more of a context on Timothy's family. In Acts chapter 16, verse 1, we read that Paul went on to Derbe and Lystra, where there was a disciple named Timothy, the son of a believing Jewish woman, but his father was a Greek. Timothy's father was a Greek. Charles Spurgeon said that Timothy's father was probably a heathen, but we don't know. Maybe he did come to Christ in his later years. We don't know. What we do know is his mother and grandmother were Jewish. Apparently, they had trained young Timothy in reading and memorizing Old Testament texts, because Paul admonished Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, when he said, "But as for you, you young Timothy, as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. You know those who taught you, and you know that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." So Timothy learned and firmly believed the sacred scriptures, not primarily because he went to some Jewish version of Sunday school or he went to some Jewish seminary. I mean, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But Paul makes a point to say, "Hey, Timothy, remember what you have known, the sacred scriptures from infancy. Ever since you were a baby, Timothy, you have known the sacred words of God." And now, praise God, his mom and his grandma were believing Jews. They had come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Paul spoke of in 1 Corinthians 15, it was the same Old Testament text that he had learned from a child that pointed to Jesus the Messiah, the true fulfillment of all these Old Testament texts. Praise God for mothers and grandmothers who instill not only Christian values in their kids and grandkids, but the very Word of God in their kids and grandkids. Lois and Eunice had a genuine, expectant faith in the Messiah of the Old Testament, and when they heard the gospel of Christ, they responded in faith, and then they passed that faith on to Timothy. It's quite possible that Paul was the one who led Lois and Eunice to faith in Christ, so Paul could have been a spiritual father figure to three generations of believers in this family. Back to our text at hand in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Read verses 4 and 3 with me again if you've got a copy. 2 Timothy 1, 4 and 5. "Remembering your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I recall your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now, I'm convinced, is in you also." Three generations of Christians in this family: Lois, Eunice, and Timothy. Let me give a word to the grandmothers here this morning. Beginning with the grandmother Lois here, what can grandmothers do with expressing their Christian faith? Grandmothers, you can talk about your faith. You can talk about the Bible. You can talk about how God has answered one of your prayers in the past. You can pray with your grandchildren for their protection and their spiritual growth. A godly grandmother leaves a spiritual inheritance to her children's children. Somebody told us a while back that kids are a grandparent's best revenge. I don't know about that. But the best thing that you can give them is not digs like that, but it's encouragement through the very word of God and stirring your own kids on to faith in Christ. And a godly grandmother can do just that by guiding their grandkids with respect by the living word of God and by their life example. A word to the mothers, a word to the Eunices. Young Timothy was blessed with a godly mom and grandma. Yes, Timothy's mother Eunice was married to an unnamed Greek Gentile, and because the Bible does not specifically mention his salvation, we can assume that he remained unconverted. Perhaps he died when Timothy was younger and Eunice was a single mom. We don't know. But because of our limited knowledge of Timothy's father, it's possible that his biological father was absent. Or at the very least, he was spiritually absent. Just as a side note, God bless single moms. Can I get an amen on that? Amen the video. God bless single moms, particularly single moms who make biblical teaching and church involvement a high priority. You have a big burden to care, not just being a mom, but being a good and godly mom. So thank you. You may not have a godly mom. You may not have a godly grandma. You may not have a godly father like a Paul. I totally get that, and I hear that frustration. The good news is, though, that does not have to be permanent. Your spiritual family is far bigger than your biological family. Eunice is a good example for Christian mothers today. Moms, you face all kinds of challenges in parenting, but you also get to reap the reward of that loving relationship. You know, when we decided that we were going to have our second kid, everybody congratulated us. Oh, congratulations on the new baby. When the Lord surprised us with our third, they said, "You do know how that happens, right?" "No, why don't you tell me how that happens?" And then God, in his humor and providence, called us to foster care. And then when we got our first foster care placement, it was not just for one child, but two. It was a set of brothers. And so at one point in time, about a year and a half ago, we had five kids. And now we have four, now that we've adopted Graceland. And I really think people think we're nuts. Everybody who laughed thinks we're nuts. No, I'm just kidding. But sometimes we feel like that. I'm not going to lie. Sometimes we do feel nuts. We feel unhinged. We feel like, what is going on? But you know, no matter how many kids we have, whether it's one, two, three, five, or four, I believe that God has specially gifted us these kids at that specific stage of our life because we've got more love to give. Parents, you're the same way. I don't care if you've got any kids and you're just a spiritual mother, or if you've got four kids like us and feel like you're going crazy. You have love to give. God has specially placed these kids under your care and provision for just a time as this. So you keep giving love. You keep doing the unnoticed and the unthanked things and giftings towards your family. We see you. Those things will not go unnoticed, I promised. When the prophet Isaiah sought to illustrate God's unending love for his children, he used the love of a new mother as his example. Listen to Isaiah 49:15. "Can a woman forget her nursing child or lack compassion for the child of her womb? Even if these forget, yet I will not forget you." A mother's love for her child is enduring, but God's love is even greater than that. And as a mother shows her undying love for her kids, she has opportunities to teach her kids about God's eternal love for them. Right? What does the book of 1 John say? We love because he loved us first. Something that Kristen and I tell our kids often is, "Guys, we love you so much, but God loves you even more." Side note, something I tell my kids often is, "Guys, I love you so much, but I love your mommy even more." just to know. And that's not a dig on the kids, of course, but dads, don't be afraid to be affectionate and loving and doting and kiss your mom in front of your kids. They'll think it's gross, but mom appreciates it, and I appreciate it too whenever I can get that in. Anyway, so a word to the grandmothers, a word to the mothers, now a word to obedient children. Hey, baby. So, with a mother and grandmother who were committed to the Lord and diligent in their spiritual instruction, it's no surprise that Timothy became a godly man and a faithful disciple of Christ. But I won't be naive enough to say that not all faithful mothers and grandmothers have godly children. Some children rebel against their family's Christian faith. Children in rebellion not only break their parents' heart, but they break God's heart. Parents, let me just encourage you with this. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart, and don't keep praying. Even through your brokenness, keep praying. Keep begging God to save them or bring them home. Keep speaking of the love of God in Christ. Be steadfast. Be immovable, knowing that your words and prayers and actions in Jesus' name are not in vain. Women, we need you. Let me say it again. I need you. I know you know. Men, can we just fess up to the fact that we need the women in our lives far more than just doing all the thankless things? We need women in our life not just to keep our kids alive or keep them well fed. We need women in our life even more than their companionship, even more than their recreational involvement in our lives. Men, let's fess up to the fact that we need women who love the Bible. We need women who will pray in Jesus' name on our behalf and the behalf of so many other people. We need women who love the local church, who are devoted to her, who want to see kingdom expansion in Jesus' name. The church, the world, we need godly women who show a desire to grow in godliness in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this comes primarily through loving, reading, and applying the Word of God. In her book, Women of the Word, Jen Wilkins says, "When women grow increasingly lax in their pursuit of Bible literacy, everyone in their circle of influence is affected. Rather than acting as salt and light, we become bland contributions to the environments we inhabit and shape, indistinguishable from those who have never been changed by the gospel. Home, church, community, and country desperately need the influence of women who know why they believe what they believe, grounded in the Word of God. They desperately need the influence of women who love deeply and actively the God who is proclaimed in the Bible." Those are the kind of women we need. Amen, church? You know, Proverbs chapter 13 says that a good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children. Inheritance, as we know, are passed down from generation to generation. And in the Bible, we know that Timothy's grandmother, Lois, loved God and raised her daughter, Eunice, to have the same sincere faith in the Lord. And it's because of Timothy's faith that we have these letters the Apostle Paul wrote to him. And mothers and grandmothers have an important job to do. You have children to raise. You speak into their lives more than any person in the world. You speak into their lives more than any other person in the world. I would arguably say more than dad, more than grandma, grandpa, more than their nutso kids at school, moms. You speak the biggest word into their life. As they grow into adolescence and into their teenage years and into their young adulthood, what you have communicated to them will sink into their hearts and minds for the rest of their life. The identity and character of generations of people are shaped by their mothers and grandmothers. Now, fathers and grandfathers obviously have a huge role to play in sharing our Heavenly Father's love with our kids and grandkids, but on average, women spend more time with the children than fathers and grandfathers. And time equals intimacy. Time equals intimacy, so it's no coincidence that children generally feel closer to their mothers. Children can be more comfortable sharing what happens at school with their moms, what's happening in their friends, their inner struggles with other women over the course of their lives. You handle, moms, you handle the mental and emotional highs and lows of your kids. And I have noticed that as a pastor, not all the time, but more often than not, it's usually the women who bring the kids and the grandkids to church. So women often handle the spiritual aspect of young people's lives as well. And even though fathers and mothers have different leadership roles in the homes, moms are still to love and lead their children well in the best way that they can. My pastor once said that love is the only thing that will outlive us. Love is the legacy that we leave with our kids, and particularly a love for the Word of God. What kind of spiritual inheritance will you leave for your kids, albeit biological or spiritual kids? I want to quickly give you 8 ways in which you can leave a lasting influence with your kids. Don't worry, we can beat the Methodists to the Western sizzling, okay? I'm sure that joke's been made before. But this is the only Western sizzling I know that's still open. Are there others out there in the world? No, I didn't think so. Maybe that's why the parking lot's always slammed. I mean, you can see cars from our parking lot to theirs. Anyway, 8 ways in which, enough about the sizzler, 8 ways in which you can leave a lasting legacy for your kids. First and foremost, you can just love your kids. What a duh statement for the pastor to say, right? But you can love your kids well by thanking God for your kids and letting your kids hear you thank God for them. Simply tell them you love them and mean it. Show them you love them. Get in the floor and play with them. Kids spell love, P-L-A-Y. So play with them. I mean, sometimes I do too. Just show affection towards your kids. There are a ton of ways to do that. But most importantly, though, love your kids well enough to tell them about God's love for them. Secondly, you can pray for them. Praying for other people, but particularly your own kids, is not a waste of time. It makes a difference, and you going to God in prayer for them is perhaps the greatest act of love that you can show them. Number 3, you can believe in them. Paul trusted Timothy with a responsibility at a young age. The people who influence us are the people who believe in us. Where would I be if it were not for people who have believed in me and invested in me and discipled me, and the ladies' prayer group from back home in Princeton who diligently prayed for us? Where would I be if it were not for those people who picked me up when I fell and who encouraged me in things that I did do well? 4th, you can minister to them. Show your kids what it's like to serve. Show your kids what it's like to diligently serve other people well, to care for people in need. While meeting their physical needs and just genuinely spending time with other people and learning their love languages. Number 5, encourage them. Encouragement is like oxygen for the soul. Young Timothy needed encouragement. He was young. He had physical weaknesses. He was possibly shy and an introverted person, kind of like me. Women are just naturally better encouragers than men. I firmly believe that. Ladies are usually soft and gentle and warm. Guys, please don't make the comment, "You ought to know my wife." Don't do that. By and large, ladies are generally just that, okay? So let your words and attitude towards us empower us as we know that you believe in us. 6th, challenge them. Motivate your kids to not just imitate you, but to imitate you as you imitate Christ. To fan the flames of their own faith through worship and prayer and Bible reading and church community and service. Just a quick word on challenging them, encouraging them, challenging them, praying for them. Don Whitney has wrote a very teeny tiny book. This is the size of my kind of books that I like to read, y'all. It's about the size of a CD. You can read this in probably an hour if you're one of those types. This is a tiny little book called Family Worship. And I can boil this tiny little 60-page book down to these three things. Here's how you lead your family in family worship, whether you're a dad, mom, or whomever. You read, pray, and sing. That's it. There's nothing magical. There's nothing fancy. If your kids are 5 years old, you spend 5 minutes a day doing just that. Again, there is nothing fancy about that. I love this pulpit. I have 10 copies of that book in this pulpit. You could fit about a dozen donuts in this thing. But I've got 10 copies for free to give away to the first 10 people who knock me down after service. You just come get a free copy of that book. Okay, number 7, trust them. Believe that they can accomplish any of their goals and that they can display leadership at any stage. Don't let them run wild necessarily, but encourage them and show them what it's like to lead and serve at any age, because God empowers us and he doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and a sound mind. That's verse 7. Number 8, and lastly, share with them. Share what? Don't just share your donuts and your tacos, but the greatest thing that you can share with your kids is what God has personally taught you in your life. Let's say you spend 3 minutes in the Bible today. Then you take 30 seconds and tell your kids what God has taught you in his word today. Tell your kids how God has brought you through a difficult time, how God has answered a very specific prayer of yours. Share with them some of the things that you can reflect back on and say, you know, I wish somebody would have taught me these things at your age, so now I'm going to share some of those things with you. My pastor told me that a time or two. Share your struggles. Share your sufferings, but always point your physical and spiritual children back to the Lord. Not just on, hey, I conquered this thing, but here's how the Lord conquered these things. Here's what the Lord has shown me in his word, and here's a prayer that he answered. So this is the call today. This is what I leave you with today, to always let your life point toward the Lord Jesus. Yes, mothers, you are called to be loving and kind and affectionate. Godly moms are called to be those who display the fruit of the Spirit if they're truly saved people. But regardless of age or parental status, I am asking you today to believe in and follow the Lord Jesus. Yes, moms, you're loving, you're affectionate, you're perfectly doting, you're compassionate, you're empathetic, but you're not that way all the time. You know who is? Jesus Christ. Come to him for everything. Moms, as great as you are, you fall short just like us dads do. You know who never falls short? The Lord Jesus Christ, who never fails and who always keeps his promise. The invitation also today is to just come and pray, as I plead with you all week after week. This altar is wide open to just come and pray. And specifically today, maybe you don't have a Paul, maybe you don't have a Eunice or a Lois in your life. Come and pray and ask that God would make clear who those specific people are that you can latch on to for spiritual mentorship and leadership. Pray that God would allow you to just humble yourselves and seek those people out in Jesus' name. Church, let's stand as we get ready to respond to this preached word. Pastor Mark and I will be down front if anyone needs to respond. Otherwise, this altar is wide open. Let's bow in a posture of prayer. God, we love you and thank you for your all-sufficient word. Father, you've not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and a sound mind. And Father, I pray right now that as we honor our mothers and our grandmothers specifically today, Lord, in these moments, we would honor the Lord Jesus Christ infinitely more. Yes, Lord, where would we be without our mothers and grandmothers? But Lord, where would we be if it were not for you and your love that you lavish on us, which is infinitely greater than even a mother's love? Now, some of us can't comprehend that, Lord, so I'm asking you to show us, to teach us, to remind us of the weight of your love, that you loved us so much, you sent your one and only perfect Son, Jesus, to live perfect and die in a cruel way so that you would resurrect him, so that by our belief in him and his work, we too could have eternal life. Father, may we respond to the preached word through worship now, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship together, church.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom and thou my true word. I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise.
A great day. Amen. Amen. You know, some of you, Kyle, you talked about using Life 360 and Find My Phone for your kids. Some of us have to use them on our parents.